Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
For me, it was a self-imposed pressure.
Was I under pressure? No.
Yeah, they're under pressure. Everyone's under pressure.
OTB AM's pressure rankings with Gillette.
And the big pressure.
your singing comes out through the sting. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I know, I do.
Sure
I know. Of course. Sure what? Yeah. Why wouldn't I be? Nothing wrong with a bit of falsetto, Owen. Everybody loves it.
I certainly enjoy it, and I'm sure everybody at home enjoys it to a similar level. So what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks is at number five in our pressure ranking is putting something there that is not under any pressure at all. So bottom of our list this week is sports bodies in Ireland, the general fact of people going to matches. So if you're feeling a bit of Stockholm syndrome with relation to lockdown two, in relation to the pandemic in general, that you've got this feeling that actually you don't want to leave lockdown, you don't want to go back into stadiums, there is good news for you. There is no hope that you will be put under any significant pressure that you will have to leave your couch and actually go on and cheer on your team in person. Now, you'll see that fans are this week being reintroduced to stadiums in the UK. They're trying it out. There is no mention of this happening in Ireland at the moment. Obviously, we've moved to level three. The announcement came on Friday. Big play by everybody in the pubs industry over the last little while to ensure that dry pubs could reopen, and they are. And this is the sort of lobbying that has got them to where they are. We have not seen the same thing on the sports level here. And as a result, we're not going to be going to the same level that the UK are going to this week, which is reintroducing fans in stadiums. I'm not saying that this is right or wrong. All I'm saying is that why aren't these conversations happening? Why aren't significant conversations happening about test events? There has been reports that test events will start to happen in Ireland in the new year, but for the course of the next month, there is no mention of it so far. I see Kieran Donaghy has been tweeting this morning at official GEA asking about the possibility of fans at stadiums. He says it's obvious what has to happen for the finals with the squad members. If this can't be sorted, I don't know what to say. I'd actually go one step further and say parents, siblings and partners should also be allowed in with masks on. This is an 86,000 capacity stadium. If you're going to try something out, in my view, you've got to try it out in Croke Park or the Aviva Stadium. On Thursday week, Arsenal come to play Dundalk as well. And I wonder if there is like a possibility there around any events in the Aviva over the next little while that you could try out 2,000 fans, 4,000 fans and see how it goes. We have to start somewhere. And I just feel that we're still paying the price a little bit of how the GEA and how GEA people perhaps voided the rules a little bit and skirted the rules, whereas the League of Ireland have shown that they carried off their reintroduction of fans in the summer without a hitch. Everybody seems to be punished for what we saw a couple of months ago.
All right, so that's number five, pressure on crowds and whether or not we can get back there. The great thing about sport is that it's always a pendulum where there is despair and desperation and lack of clarity in Irish rugby. There is, on the other side, unbridled Georgian joy. Listen to this commentary of their wonder try against Ireland the weekend.
Ermizale Baiko Vasca sotto strafa Guinda Burti
Matias Schwin Schigni
Schigni Kalasov Gatsem Miti questo
Orca Schigni Gagdeleva
Miti Dagni
Aket Miti
Dagni questo questo
Bello Fantastico il Gaetana questo Latem Ula Mazestilci
That's what it's going to sound like when Stephen Kenny's Ireland finally score a goal, Owen.
The same level of jubilation. Irish rugby, yeah, well, number four, there's a bit of a drop from lack of pressure from number five to number four in this week's pressure rankings, because there is a fair deal of actual pressure on Irish rugby and Andy Farrell. The one thing I want to say is that I think it's positive that we're seeing Andy Farrell coming out swinging yesterday, saying that he was properly pissed off with the Irish performance, because we haven't really seen that over the last little while. They came up second best against England. They came up second best against France. And a lot of the discourse in the aftermath of those games was, if we took our chances, if we hit our set piece a little bit better, we could have won that game. there were little excuses here and there, little reasons as to why they didn't win those games. And I felt that it was, look at the positive things that we did, and let's not address the fact that England and France killed us and deserved to beat us by more than the scoreline actually suggested. And I just wonder if at the end of the day, if that's how you're reviewing your defeats, you're never going to be able to hammer a team like Georgia, because you're not hard on yourself. You're not ruthless on yourself. You're not going to be ruthless on a team like Georgia, and you end up with a performance like yesterday. But as I've said, it is, in my opinion, positive that Andy Farrell is at last coming out and saying this isn't good enough. This needs to change, and we'll be having probably a few honest conversations over the next little while to try and arrest it. So Irish rugby, eternally under pressure, but more so at the moment.
Realistically, were we expecting a major upturn in performance and game plan? Asks Lenny. This coaching ticket was a continuation of the Joe era, which was stale for his last 12 months. Bear in mind, Farrell was announced when Ireland were in decent form before it went stale, so it was never a plan of upheaval. Quintain says, this team is in serious trouble. If I had told any Irish fan there would be a game between Ireland and Georgia and Ireland would only score 3 points in the second half, they would have laughed in my face. I personally wouldn't have believed it myself. It's silly of Quinny to go on and on about the lack of players needed to inject that X factor. We're talking about Georgia. It's not England or Wales that Ireland was playing. Big issues, lads, big issues. Those of us who remember the World Cup remember Georgia as a team who can obviously cause us some problems in 07. Franz says the team regressed under Schmidt, and the reason he did so well with them was he had an excellent crop in their prime. They're now past their best, and Toon Army, Sexton, Murray, O'Brien, O'Mahony and Bess were all in their prime. That's why Joe done so well, he says.
Yeah, there was definitely a bang in the second half yesterday of it that it could go to like the Cyprus defeat in football, or like the Japan game in the World Cup in 2019, that things could get a lot worse. And thankfully they didn't. Thankfully the win was actually secured in the end. But the performance definitely needs to get better over the next little while, to say the very least. In at number three in this week's pressure rankings is Mikel Arteta, is Arsenal as a football club. They've made their worst ever start a Premier League season. They're playing with a lack of urgency, with a lack of pace. Now, people are saying, Ger, that they can't figure out Arteta ball. These people are idiots, because it's simple. The objective is, if you're an Arsenal player, you must pass the ball, stop moving, or move as very slowly as you possibly can, look around, pass the ball, stop moving, look around, pass the ball, repeat, maybe cross the ball, lose the ball, track back fairly quickly, turn it over, and repeat the process. They complete all their passes. They allow the opposition to complete all their passes. This is what Arteta ball currently looks like in its current guise. The average players have become bad players. The good players have become average players. And their one really top class talent is like Michael Jordan in Space Jam, where the Monstars have come and robbed him of all his talent. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, it looks like he's got more years left in his contract than he's made touches in the box this season in the Premier League, a shadow of his former self. I think it was just reaching its lowest point last night in the first half when David Luiz takes a 30-yard free with his head in a bandage, and you can see blood beneath the bandage. Like, a man with a bleeding head was taking free kicks for Arsenal yesterday in the first half. You're looking at Arsene Wenger trending on Twitter this morning. You're looking at Unai Emery in the top four in the Liga with Villarreal. Just things have all started to come together to paint a fairly grim picture at Arsenal. And I will ask one question here. Is Mikel Arteta even as handsome as we thought he was? He's starting to look a little less handsome than he was. I know that might be a little step too far, but things are starting to get very real at Arsenal.
Okay. Number two,
let's have a look at the scenes outside Celtic Park yesterday.
Social distancing well masked, I presume?
Yeah. David Tanner TV on Twitter posted this video yesterday. Basically, a protest, an anti-Neil Lennon protest after they got beaten 2-0 by Ross County in the Scottish League Cup. So Police Scotland deployed officers of at least 12 vehicles and 4 helicopters as fans gathered to call basically for the removal of Neil Lennon. There was missiles thrown by all accounts as well, and players and management had to be escorted from the ground. Obviously, terrible scenes from last night, but it just shows that if there were fans in the stadium, this whole anti-Neil Lennon tone would have been far more obvious than it already is, and it's pretty obvious right now.
Yeah, so as I was saying earlier, you can't lose to Ross County and expect to continue in the job as the Celtic manager. Roy Keane was one of the names I saw being bandied about as a potential who could come in mid-season and galvanise the squad.
Yeah, I guess. Do you think that that's something he'd be able to do?
I would like I would like to see the experiment, Owen. I would tune in.
Yeah. After the scenes last night, I'm not sure that's an experiment worth taking for everybody's safety. Roy, can we just get utterly frustrated by the maybe the failings that exist in the squad? Because there obviously has to be some failing somewhere. Perhaps. And maybe it wouldn't go too well.
Number one, we're marvelling at science and its ability to create some way of surviving massive accidents at high speed and massive temperatures.
Really, a Formula One driver should be number one in our pressure rankings every week, because there is true pressure on these sports people. Romain Grosjean survived after driving his Haas car yesterday into a crash with an impact speed of 137 miles per hour, an impact of 53 G, splitting the car in two. Like a bad car crash of around 50 G is likely to kill you. This is absolutely remarkable that this didn't results in more serious injuries. His head basically was protected by the Halo cockpit protection device that was made mandatory by the FIA in 2018. It's basically this titanium hoop structure which will protect the head in case of a crash like that. Like I'm just reading up a bit on this in The Guardian this morning. They said that initially there was some skepticism around this, that drivers would have difficulty quickly getting themselves out of the car in the event of a fire, but they can remove themselves within 10 seconds with this halo, and the violence of the impact and the height of the car entering the barriers without this would have left Grosjean's head completely exposed to the steel barriers, which, as you can see in the photographs there, were completely shattered by the impact of the crash. So this titanium device, this halo, was unbelievably important. He only suffered only second degree burns, and here he is speaking in hospital last night on his Instagram feed.
Hello, everyone. Just wanted to say I am okay, well, sort of okay. Thank you very much for all the messages. I mean, I wasn't for the halo some years ago, but I think it's the greatest thing that we've brought to Formula One, and without it I wouldn't be able to speak to you today. So thanks to all the medical staff at the circuit, at the hospital, and hopefully I can write you quite soon some messages and tell you how it's going.
It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing that he survived that and is like a couple of hours later waggling his fingers from the hospital. So, yeah, that is this week's Pressure Rankings.
OTB AM's Pressure Rankings with Gillette.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.